This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our regular listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, and I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Mahdi Tarabi to give his insight on the topic of the great Satan. I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, the topic of the great Satan, this was a title that was given by Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, to the U.S. And it wasn't something that was given out of emotion, given out of any, shall we say, hatred towards the Americans. This was something that was mentioned as an indication of the nature and character of what the U.S. has become in terms of this imperialistic power that seeks hegemony throughout the world.
Right.
So, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, your take, because, of course, you know, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been at the brunt of, you know, hostility of the great Satan. And for a variety of reasons, principally because you got rid of its good friend, the Shah, here in Iran. And secondly, you, the students, overtook an embassy, I remember, just a few months after the victory of the
rebels. I was very young at that time.
Yes,
I wasn't part
of it. We were very young at that time and wish we had participated also in the overtake of that embassy, which was called the Den of Espionage, as I remember it.
Right.
And I remember Jimmy Carter panicking on the television screens about, you know, the hostage crisis, wasn't it? You know, 444 days when this espionage staff was, you know, held here in Iran. And, of course, that led to a lot of tensions between the Islamic Republic and the great Satan, the USA. But your take since then and about, you know, the Imam's great insight and depth into in terms of giving, you know, this these kinds of terms for the U.S., because, of course, he wanted to make the Muslims understand that who is their real enemy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think that's good what you said in terms of, you know, making people understand who the real enemy is.
Yes.
I think at that time, okay, let's start it with this way.
Yes.
Okay. Just as a matter of principle, obviously Imam, you know, was very calculating in terms of he was very careful in what he said.
He was, yes.
He wasn't somebody who was given to, you know, And you can see the tapes and you can watch the films from back then.
When he said something, he meant it.
Right. Mm. He wasn't these people that would just, you know, come out with some statements.
Rhetorical flourishes while
he's, you know.
Yeah,
he spoke quietly, calmly.
That's right.
And, you know, he was a man of 80. So,
yes, he was.
You know, he wasn't really going to get up and
exactly.
You know, do an imitation of Mussolini or whatever, you know, or Hitler in terms of, you know.
No.
So when he says something,
yes,
there's a basis for it.
There's a wisdom in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So why would Imam use the term great Satan?
Satan, yes. I mean, that was extraordinary at the time.
Right.
I mean, it took us all aback.
For the U.S.
Yes.
And I think really it has to do with, if you read the Quran.
Yes.
And you are a little bit familiar with the way shaitan
is described in
the Quran and in the Islamic sources.
Sure.
You will see shaitan is somebody who deceives, is somebody who tries to lead people astray.
Yes. And is also very arrogant.
Right.
There were qualities here that were being described.
I mean, this is before he, if you see the first time it's mentioned, which is Baghara.
Yes.
Surah Baghara, when they, you know, it's the beginning of Surah Baghara.
That's right.
When they talk about him not bowing down to Adam, Hazrat Adam.
Yes. Because he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Peace be upon him, in terms of, you know, Allah giving that order.
Order, yes.
That you should, you know, bow down to your...
And he became one of the mustakbirin, one of the
to the prophet and the imam of your age.
Yes, exactly. Well, there's a good point, isn't there? Yes.
And exactly. This is the point I was going to make, is that in the ayah, before it talks about him being kafir and denier of truth, he talks about him being mustakbir and takabbur. Mm-hmm. And being arrogant.
Arrogant.
And remember, shaitan is a person who, or is a, you know, entity which 6,000 years, according to the Rivayat, has been constantly praising and worshipping God.
Exactly, yes.
You know, that's absolutely more than any of us.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yes.
6,000 years of...
That's more than a Glaswegian, because we only live till 50.
Exactly. So, you know, these are things that, you know, we should remember. Yes. When he says great Satan, he's talking about Satan and Shaitan coming from that Quranic Islamic background and that way of describing to us who Shaitan is.
Exactly.
It is a person who is arrogant. It is a person who disobeys the command of his Lord.
Sure.
It is a, you know, being that is so arrogant that it will not recognize the imam of its age.
Exactly.
And its job is to lead people astray.
Exactly.
This is because he asked God for you know, once God decides that, you know, now that you've disobeyed, I'll have to take care of you. He says, well, give me time until the end of times.
Sure.
See how many people I can...
How much of the progeny of Adam I can destroy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, okay.
Fine. Go ahead.
Let's see what you can do.
Do, yes. Exactly.
And of course, Allah also in the Quran, in many places, talks about the people who are mukhlisin, the people who are you know, worshipping and praising Allah, you know, sincerely.
Yes.
They are immune to these.
To this entity.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So it's not a, you know, some sort of a injustice by Allah to do this.
No.
In fact, Satan himself is a tool of Allah and does it with the permission of Allah.
Exactly.
It's not like in the Christian way of, because this is the problem we have is we when we speak about religion in English, we immediately are using the words with that baggage that comes from Christianity.
That's
in terms of, you know, Satan having independent powers of God or being some sort of a dark force, you know.
Opposite to God.
Opposite to God.
It's not like that.
There is no opposite to God.
No, there isn't. There's
just God.
Yes.
And everything happens within his plan. And part of his plan is to have an entity like the Satan. And we even have shayateen, talking about different
Satans.
Yes,
that's right. It's different Satans, yes.
You know, we have Iblis,
yes.
Which is, you know.
Yes. We also have our internal Satans as well.
So this the ayah that I was talking about is actually referring to Iblis.
Very good.
Which is, you know, the main shaitan.
The main shaitan, the arch shaitan, yes.
Right?
As the U.S. is today,
right.
Yes.
So this is the point that, you know, it's basically, and it's interesting. I think this is a very interesting subject to actually think about. You have, again, in the Quran, shaitan talking about how, and the Quran describes it, how on the Day of Judgment, shaitan will renounce all the people that he led astray. And he will say, all I did was obey my Lord.
Exactly.
So, you know.
That's right. Because he had his permission to do that in the first place. And then he says, well,
you're not from me. I praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And he said, well, they did that of their own free will. I mean, I had no power over them. I couldn't control them.
So, you know, Shaitan is a very interesting.
He is a very interesting character.
Right.
And not somebody I'd like to associate that.
Right. And I'm simply saying interesting in the sense that, you know, it's interesting to look at his place within this divine
plan.
Within this divine structure.
Yes.
So, given all that, this was all an introduction in terms of why would
Imam Khomeini, God bless his soul, use this term. Yes, right. Exactly.
It wasn't, as you correctly pointed out, simply a rhetorical flourish or some sort of emotional
response to something.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a very clear statement of the nature and the essence of who we're dealing with.
Dealing with, yes.
Okay. And I would add something to that, which is that a big part, or maybe the – and it's very interesting that we recently had this discussion again in the media. Americans because of their Protestant background, because of their whole biblical way of looking at things. I'm talking about initially when America was
was started. You're quite right,
and
sir.
This coming out of Britain and coming out of the different dissident movements within the Protestant movements in England.
That's correct. Yes,
they have this belief that they are chosen people.
They do. You know, it's pretty much interesting how that's right. in line
and this
with
is,
Israel.
This is something that's been discussed by academics. So this is not. I'm not saying anything new here.
No, you're not.
There's a whole set of literature on this matter that Protestants consider themselves to be the chosen people. That you know, you had the Israelites and the Bani Israel initially. Then you had the church. And then after the church, I'm talking about the Catholic Church.
That's right, yes.
Once the Catholic Church went astray, then it was
the Protestants.
The burden fell onto the
Protestants. Yes, that's correct, yes.
To take on God's,
I mean, this is very interesting because I've heard this a lot even in the UK, that they do describe the US as being an apocalyptic nation in the sense that they're coming out of something right out of the Bible.
Well, what I was going to add is that once that aspect of things, in the 20th century where you have this kind of secularization happening, it becomes something else. It's called, they don't say we're chosen people anymore. They say we're the exceptional nation.
The exceptional nation.
Exceptionalism.
Yes,
this is exactly what Putin and Obama were arguing about. I don't know if you remember, Putin wrote the article.
Putin wasn't very happy about that conversation.
And he said, we don't have exceptional nations.
No.
We all ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Okay?
Yes, yes. And we all have to make do on this planet.
Right.
Yes.
And so basically, and this is a big debate within the U.S., one of the things that the Republicans and the conservatives criticized Obama for during the first round that he was running was when they asked Obama, is America an exceptional nation? He really didn't give a very, patriotic answer to that. He said, well, we're exceptional just as other nations are exceptional in their own way. Mm. Gingrich had a whole book about it, how, this shows that Obama is not really understanding what American civilization is and we are the exceptional nation.
Sure.
All that. We come – this is in his first term. We get to the point in Syria where – he basically, the only thing he could say about why they want to bomb Syria is, and this was in the press conference, the initial press conference that he announced that he was going to do this. He said, well, in the end, we're going to do this because we're America.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
You remember?
Yes, I remember.
We're America and America has to do these things.
America has to do this.
Right. We are the only ones that can do this. We're the ones that have this responsibility.
Yeah.
Because we're an exceptional nation.
Ah.
We're different than the others.
Mm.
Okay?
Sure.
Now, when did Imam talk about this stuff?
Oh, my goodness. We are way back.
78?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so. 78, 79, yes.
Right. So, alhamdulillah, thank God, we see the world is coming to where Imam was
years ago.
When he says that it is the great Satan, it's more than saying you are not exceptional. It is saying that by you claiming to be the exceptional nation, claiming to be the chosen people, you are arrogating something for yourself.
Self, which you do not deserve.
And which is dangerous, which
dangerous,
leads people astray,
yes.
which leads people into the fire, which leads to their destruction, which leads to your own destruction.
Your own self-destruction as well.
And
that's
as such, we have to stand up against you.
Exactly.
We cannot be indifferent to you.
No.
Okay? This is all, and I think it's good that we're talking about these things at this moment because there's all this talk again about, let's have a deal with the Americans. I'm talking about in terms of,
Diplomacy and other things. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And, fine. Everybody does their diplomacy.
Sure.
Nobody's against diplomacy.
No.
You go, you talk, you
make
your points.
And you agree to disagree.
And this is the beautiful thing that, the leader always talks about, Supreme Leader always talks about, is that, know the essence and the real identity of your enemy. This is, again, he's been talking about this in a number of speeches recently.
Point.
Where he says it's fine. He even used the term heroic flexibility, which was a very interesting way of saying it. He said, look, we talk to everyone. He used the example of a wrestler because, Iranians were wrestlers.
Of course. And have a great tradition.
We beat everyone recently.
We
had the world championships.
You have. Yes.
We beat everyone again, as usual.
As usual, yes.
We even had that meet in New York in Grand Central Station where they were invited and we beat all the Americans in the wrestling. Okay, just for the record.
Just for the record.
Just for the record, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for
mentioning
that.
So when the Supreme Leader uses wrestling analogies, this is something that is very,
Appropriate
in Iran. Everybody understands what he's talking about. And he was talking about that when a wrestler, is in a clinch and is wrestling with his opponent, he might you know, show some flexibility at times. He might let go of some area at some point, but never he never forgets what he's doing.
Doing, yes.
He never forgets who what the enemy is after.
After, yes.
So this is the point. I think when Imam, you know, so brilliantly and so powerfully
used this
the word
expression,
great
yes.
Satan, yes. he completely changed the framework in which people were looking at the United States.
Exactly.
He completely, you know, this is the great ability, this is the ability of great, you know, leaders.
Yes.
Is they don't simply enter a debate. They actually shape the debate.
They shape it.
Okay.
That's
they
right.
they determine the framework
parameters in
of
which
the debate.
You, of that debate, yes.
His thing was not, well, you know, the Americans have been unjust to us for 50 years and they overthrew
he said
they are the great Satan. This is our starting point.
He hit the nail on the head. That's
our starting
point
is you are the
great
Satan.
Satan. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this is we deal with you as the great Satan. Whatever we have to do, we do.
Mm.
And it's interesting because you know, even Imam then in his final testament writes about the fact that and this is I think one of those I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes he says things and you think, okay, you know, where did this guy, like, where did he come from? You
exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he was just amazing some of the things he would say.
No, he was beyond time in that sense.
He said in his final testament, he said, you know, maybe there will come a time when we can be, when we can have relations with the United States if they change their attitude towards us. If they change their
arrogance,
and they change their...
That's right. He did say that.
So this is something that he's leaving the door. He's basically saying, yes, you are the great Satan, but it's because of your own behavior.
Yeah.
You can have an... And it's interesting, in that same sentence he says, but we will never be friends with Ali Saud. This is very interesting. This was after they killed the
pilgrims in 1987. That's right. When they slaughtered the Hajj pilgrims in that year.
Right.
That's right.
So you know this is very to me
interesting.
This is interesting
very
because
interesting.
What you have is a is Imam basically saying this is the essence and this is the identity and this is the you know the characteristics
of the U.S.
of the U.S.
But you can you may be able to have. Some relations
Listen,
with
this is the point about really understanding that you know it's all from Allah, right?
It is.
It's
very
not
much
something
so.
That you you know.
No, you can do from yourself. No,
right.
No.
So we have him, you know, talking about the great Satan.
Yes.
Again, going back to the way we understand Shaitan in the Islamic sources,
right.
And then of course looking at America's behavior globally.
Sure.
And isn't it interesting that these 34 years have just confirmed everything that
that's right. It's exposed
I mean,
America for what it is.
Isn't really America the most hated?
It is,
you know, in the nation in the world right now by other people.
Well, it's a gangster, isn't it?
Really? Isn't it something?
It's like a large Al Capone.
And remember,
you know,
what
at
time
the
Imam did this? Imam did this at a time when the U.S. was, you know, the great superpower.
Yes,
standing up to the evil Soviets,
that's right.
to the
and
godless
not,
communists.
That's right.
Right. So you know, America had a certain
image.
Right. They even
defenders of the free world.
They even, you know, had done what they did in Europe in World War II and standing up to the Nazis and standing up to, you know, the different forces that existed, which were all considered to be very good things by everybody. And and they are good things.
Yes.
Of course, it's good to stand up to, you know, a crazy person like Hitler.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, it's good to stand up to Stalinism. So these are things that, you know, America had on its, you know,
plus
resume.
Had on its CV. Yeah.
With all the negative stuff as well, like,
sure.
you know, all the coup d'etats and the killings and the murders in Latin America and around the world.
Yeah,
after
the ones that they wouldn't speak about necessarily.
Right.
Yes.
So before World War II, all the stuff that they did in the world, they already were practicing in Latin America. So since the Monroe Doctrine, you know, started. So this was – so it's not – we're not trying to say that it was all good or all bad. But there were elements.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, we see, you know, the first time the U.S. is seriously challenged in the Cold War.
Sure.
By a so-called third world nation, by a developing nation, is the Islamic Revolution.
Sure.
And, you know, isn't it beautiful that at that time, you know, it was, you know, we're neither West nor East, we're Islamic Republic.
Republic, yes.
So it wasn't like every other situation in the Cold War where if you were going to go against the U.S., you would necessarily
join
with
the Soviet
bloc.
Yes, that's okay? right.
Or if you were with the Soviet Union, you were necessarily against the U.S. This is the kind of world that the Americans and the Soviets wanted.
Exactly.
And they had created to
But Iran himself. Broke out of that
Iran
because
broke
of Islam.
Out of that complete mold. And that's why you see that...
Thanks to Imam Khomeini, God
That's why you
soul.
See the Americans and the Soviets supporting Saddam during
exactly,
the war.
Exactly,
okay?
exactly.
They're giving him weapons and all of everybody's supporting Saddam.
They had to contain this because
right?
this,
so this was
a,
like one,
a very dangerous idea.
Right. I mean, this was like... You know, the
this
Soviets
was toxic.
And Soviets and the Americans, hey, we need to be on this. We are together on this one. Which is, you know, just think about that for a second.
Yeah, I know. It was extraordinary.
And so basically what you had, and it's funny because at that time they said, well, the Soviets are the little Satan.
Okay? Yes, that's right. They're the little Satan.
Yeah. We forgot about that.
Okay? Yeah, we forgot about that.
Because the Soviets don't exist anymore. So,
yes,
you know,
that's
it doesn't
right.
matter.
So. Yeah, so that's why he was little because he was going to resign pretty
so
soon.
So this is, there's also a point in that, which is that the main enemy
is going to be the U.S.
Right. Mm. So it is in this environment that, you know, our dear Imam said these things.
Sure.
He framed the debate. Mm. He called out the U.S. and, you know, pointed out to the real identity of the U.S. and its behavior towards others.
Sure.
Again, I repeat, when Imam talks about the great Satan, he's talking about something that's also partly in the control of the U.S. of how it behaves.
Sure.
This is not some sort of a, you know, preordained, you know.
No, it's not, no.
Where there's no influence.
Because that's very interesting that you're saying that.
Because that's not part of Islam.
Yeah, because
Everyone is capable of redemption.
Everybody, changing their behavior,
right.
That's right. So he says that if they can change their conduct, there may be some room for negotiation.
Right. Yeah. So the point is, again, the beautiful thing that he did is that from an Islamic perspective, he clearly drew the line.
Yes, he did.
Because we see... Brother, look at how miserably Ikhwan failed in Egypt.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Why?
Yeah,
because they didn't understand who America was.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this is important Islamically.
That's right.
Okay? I'm talking now Islamically.
We'll
go step by step.
They made a fundamental mistake in their revolution.
What we saw, unfortunately, in these last years is that the Ikhwan, you know, didn't understand the nature of America.
No.
They thought that well, we got the population to vote for us, so we'll play everyone.
Yes.
We'll deal with the Americans. We'll keep our ambassador in Israel. We'll try to be friendly with the Americans.
Yeah, try to be everything to all things.
Right.
And it all went pear shaped.
Exactly. Why? Because from the beginning, they were not able to distinguish the reality and the identity and the essence of who.
Who is your enemy?
Who the other side is.
Yes.
What the enemy is.
Yes, sir.
Something which was very important and completely different when it came to the Islamic Revolution in Iran because of the leadership of somebody like Imam.
Yes.
And it's always Imam standing there when everybody is confused.
Yes.
And everybody's...
yeah, not so sure about what
well,
to do.
What were we supposed to do? Imam saying, this is it. He was always right.
He was always right.
And this is a miracle.
This is extraordinary. Really, this is...
I mean, I'm not trying to...
No.
He's not Masoom. He's a normal human being.
You've said that in a previous program, which was a very appropriate thing that you said at the time and a very excellent point, where you said that, this comes naturally out of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt.
Exactly.
This is something expected of us.
And
if,
again,
if we follow it properly,
that's
the conclusion we'd come to.
I repeat that beautiful sentence or that phrase by Shahid Sadr.
Yes, please.
You know, Ayatollah Muhammad Baghir Sadr,
yes.
Who was martyred by,
Saddam, yes.
Crazy Saddam.
Yes.
Where he tells his students, he says, Lubu, which is, melt into Imam.
Yes.
Become one with Imam.
Imam.
The way Imam has melted into has become one with Islam.
My God.
Okay.
What
so
a beautiful expression.
Right. So Imam is completely, manifestation of all those teachings.
Mashallah.
Both in terms of the knowledge and in terms of acting on it.
Acting on it.
Yes. He's a manifestation of that.
He was the manifestation.
It's interesting because we always use the word Ayatollah. He really is Ayatollah.
He was really Ayatollah. He was.
Because he was a sign of God.
There were books I remember that came out in the UK, and it simply said the sign of God. Right. And there was a big portrait of Imam Khomeini. There you are.
Right. So he really was Ayatollah.
Because
use Ayatollah in terms of a title.
Yes, but he was really the Ayatollah.
But then we really have Ayatollah. And of course, all of us are Ayatollah in a certain way.
We are, but
the whole of creation is Ayatollah.
Yeah, but we're not.
But he was.
Yeah.
And, this is good for us to have experience because, we're distant from the time of the Prophet.
Yes.
You know, when you're in the presence of a prophet or the imams, yes. It's clear.
It's very, very clear.
I mean, it wasn't clear to everyone, but...
No. Of course, you know? I know. There were certain exceptions in right. those cases.
We don't want to get to that.
We don't want to get to
But
that,
the
yes.
point is that, you know, that presence already itself is maybe the biggest proof for a lot of people.
It is.
Just the presence of somebody of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Yes.
Or people like Imam Ali alayhi salam or the other imams that were there. So... Yes. And you know, we're removed from that era.
Mm.
And yet we see somebody, at least for me, this was the case, I'm sure it was for you.
Somebody, yes, it
those
was.
Of us
it
who,
certainly
who,
was, sir.
Who experienced yes. Imam.
Thank God.
You know, thank yes. God we lived yeah. to see him.
See that, yes. Because really we were very, very distant from any understanding of religion or God or even our purpose in life. And to be honest, you know, this man, you know, I mean, we don't want to use words like miracle and things like, because that's not what we're saying. We're really saying that, no, because he was living on the true teachings of Islam, he made us see what Islam
right.
is.
Right. And it was beyond, it was immediate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was existential. It was immediate.
It was immediate, yes.
It wasn't something that...
It spoke to your soul.
It wasn't indirect. It was direct.
It was direct.
It wasn't something that was mediated. When I'm using the word immediate,
no,
I mean,
no,
it
no,
wasn't mediated.
No, no. Certainly in Glasgow, you can't get that. It really touched your soul.
Right.
It did.
It wasn't something, you know, planned or sometimes, you know, staged.
Yes.
It was genuine.
It was genuine.
It was real. You could really feel that this is coming from, you know, the source.
The source, yes. The real source. Source, the
right.
original source.
When he would say the words, you knew that this is what was in his heart. It wasn't you know, some sort of artistic or...
No,
some...
I mean, the thing is, the media at the time, and you know, the UK media is one of the most vicious, one of the most...
Right. The most vicious.
Nefarious type right. of media there is. But even they hung on every word that the Ayatollah had to say.
Right.
It was like, you know, what is he going to say the next day? They were trying to anticipate that, right. you know, exactly what he was going to say.
And remember, we quoted from the book that we were using.
Yes.
We talked about, you know, the big crime or the big sin of Imam was that, and as the Telegraph, I think it was the Telegraph,
The Times
talking
the
about
Times,
you know
yes, right.
he actually dared to tell people that they can stand up to the Americans and they can,
right.
you know, they have power.
They have power. Yeah, the right? people have power. Yes.
So imagine this is a society in which, you know, you have mass illiteracy, you have basically a feudal system,
sure.
you have people who have very little feeling of empowerment,
sure.
and here comes a man and he completely empowers them. And the great world power, again, I'm using the word power on purpose.
Yes.
So you have, you know, a taking away of the power. Of America and that image and calling it the great city and giving power to people who otherwise would be considered, you know, the lowest of the low.
Well, I mean, I think on that note, we can end this program by saying that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, never said anything without wisdom.
Exactly.
Number one. And number two, because of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. And number two, this empowerment of the people. I mean, this was something the Imam deeply held in his heart,
right.
that he believed that civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience, was the way to bring down imperial powers.
And it did.
And that formula works today.
And it did.
It did.
And what you do first is you actually point out the reality of who you're dealing with.
Exactly.
And this is what he did.
Yes, and point out the true nature of your enemy. Thank you very much. And on that note, it just leaves me to thank our listeners for listening to our program today. And it leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening and goodbye.